Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
So the much-discussed series between Golden State and Houston, and the conversation, not about the officials this time, not about the referees. Instead, it is about a rather blah game. You had both star players get hurt. Saw the game. I assume you watched, but maybe not. Maybe you're like some people I know. You just don't watch the NBA for whatever reason. But this was interesting. I watched both games. The first game blew. The Celtics did not engage the Milwaukee Bucks. They were trampled on. And then in the second game, it was Golden State just kind of doing their thing. They win by a total of 6 points. The score misleading that it was that close. It was not that the Warriors blew the doors off the Rockets, but it was not a nip-and-tuck situation. It was not. All right, anyway, so let's discuss the question, what stood out in game two between Golden State and the Rockets, a 6-point win for the Warriors. Now, my thoughts on this, you've got Silly Putty, the Mouse, and Lombardi. And we will tie all of this together into a nice holiday package of cupcakes is what we will do, even though it's not really a holiday, but we'll still make it like a package of nice, delicious cupcakes. Now, number one, the Warriors. I don't know if this is the right terminology or not, but it felt like they were in cruise control. They were never with raised anxiety levels. Like, the Rockets did hang around, and there was a point in the fourth quarter. It was a 4-point game at a couple of, you know, moments in the fourth quarter, which is more than within striking distance. They were hanging around. But I never got the feeling watching this game, sitting on my ass, that the Rockets would actually find that next gear, that second gear, to crank it up and actually go ahead. And the reality is that the Rockets never led in this game. 48 minutes of basketball, there were zero lead changes. None. Goose egg. The Warriors led by as many as 15 points, and Kevin Durant leading a balanced attack, everyone scoring a bunch of points in the starting lineup for the Warriors. They had 29 points to lead the way for Golden State. And really, Durant treated the Rockets the way the Rockets deserved to be treated. Treated them like Silly Putty. It's an outdated reference. But the Rockets, they were trying their best. They were giving it a go. And the Warriors were just kind of playing around. Yeah. It wasn't a raggedy Rockets performance, because they actually played pretty well offensively. They shot almost 47%, just a shade under 47% in the game. And they did some things in this game that they had not been doing in recent playoff performances, but it still was not good enough, right? Not good enough because, you know, you're half a step here and there. You have to completely be engaged, kind of like the Clippers were with the great Patrick Beverley and Montrezl Harrell to beat Golden State in that arena, something that the Clippers were able to do twice and the Warriors 0-for-2 so far in their series. Right? Didn't happen. Now, the second thing here, we know the Rockets love to make excuses. We are aware the Rockets love to make excuses. This is something that they've done quite a bit over the recent run, this era, this vintage of Rockets basketball. But as a franchise, the mantra of the last couple of days was blame the refs. They're the blame the refs team. So now they can adjust that with a new fall guy. You got to have a fall guy. And what's the fall guy going to be? That would be James Harden and his bloodshot eye. That will be the fall guy. Now, Harden ended up playing 34 minutes, but he left the game in the first quarter. There was a series of calamities with Steph Curry getting hurt, and he went out with a middle finger problem. We've all had a middle finger problem at one point or another. And then later on, shortly after that, James Harden got hurt. But you can't play that card. I know the Rockets will likely try to play that card, and they'll do it in a passive-aggressive way. They'll be like, well, I'm not blaming James Harden's eye in bloody eye or anything like that. But it was a factor. You know, one of those passive-aggressive moves. So he had a bloodshot eye. That'll be the scapegoat. You play the ifs and buts game. Ifs and buts were candy and nuts, and James Harden doesn't have a bloody eye, the Rockets would have won the game, right? Ifs and buts. And that might play to the congregation in Houston, but it doesn't work here, right? Cry me a river. I just don't want to be the gullible person. Again, I cannot stress this enough. Houston never led in the game. 48 minutes. Bupkis. They didn't have a single lead. Not 2-0, not 4-2, not 6-5, 0. Never had the lead. So the last time the game was even was 0-0 when the game started. And I'm supposed to believe here that this Rockets team is going to beat Golden State. Now they got to win 4 out of the next 5. And as far as the bloodshot eye thing that I know the Rockets, through their surrogates in the media, will be trying to serve up, he did have 29 points in the game, and a guy that had been shooting 32% or whatever it was from the floor over the last couple of games in the playoffs actually was closer to 50%. Like, that was efficient James Harden. That was good James Harden offensively. He didn't need a gazillion shots. He still took 19. But the key for the Warriors, and whenever you play the Rockets, if James Harden doesn't get 15 foul shots, you've got a really good chance of winning the game. And Harden only had 9 foul shot attempts in this particular game. All right, so again, you do all the math on this, you do all the arithmetic, and lazy on defense, James Harden, it's like he took some plays off in the fourth quarter. Again, within striking distance, but took some plays off on defense. And the other thing, as we mentioned, Steph Curry got hurt also. So you had Curry out and Harden out, which I think the term for that is a zero-sum game, right? When both star players are injured, and Curry did not shoot the basketball particularly well. He missed 10 three-point shots. He was 3 of 13, the greatest three-point shooter in the history of the sport. Everyone reminds us all the time how great Steph Curry is. He missed 10 three-point shots because he had a messed-up middle finger. All right, so that's another part of it. And, you know, next man up, do your job. It just so happens the Rockets, their next man up is what? Austin Rivers is their next man up. That's who they got to go to, the great Austin Rivers. And Iman Shumpert, he's still hanging around. All right, now it's the whole cat and mouse game. Like, the Rockets would get close, as I said. The Warriors then would step on the accelerator, and it just rinse, wash, repeat. And it was kind of like over the holidays, maybe during the summer or Thanksgiving, you play some pickup basketball. It's like the adult playing an 8-year-old. It's like, yeah, you can do whatever you want. You can kind of have some fun. You want to let the kid think he's going to score some points on you. Like, no. And then you come out, you're like, you're blocking every shot. But Golden State, everyone in the starting lineup, double-figure points. All right, last thing on this. We'll hear from some of the key participants, at least the coaches, in a minute. But the last thing here. So the Western Conference semifinals now, it is really a one-game series. Because the Warriors only have to win one of the two games in Houston, and really game three. If they win game three, which I think is next year, game three. But if, assuming they win on game three, which I guess maybe is actually Saturday, but assuming they win that game up 3-0, and I know, the Warriors have blown big leads before. Okay. Yeah. They're not playing the LeBron back when he was with the Cavs. They're not playing the Clippers and Montrezl Harrell and Patrick Beverley. They're playing Rockets. I mean, the Rockets are a pushover. As I said, the Clippers gave the Warriors more of a test than the Rockets, and that is held true through two games of this particular series, right? So if the Warriors win one game in Houston, whether it be on Sunday or Monday, there will be a very, very large, obese woman that will be singing. Are we still allowed to say the fat lady will be warming up? We can still say that? I've been told we can still say that. That's a great opera reference, right? The end of the opera would be the very large woman that would be singing, so that's perfectly acceptable. We're not shaming anyone. And again, for all the bluster, I want to stress this also. For all the bluster about the Rockets, right, and all this, and James Harden being a nemesis for Golden State, the results don't back that up. They don't, right? Before Tuesday, and the Rockets lost that game. Since James Harden came onto the scene in Houston, the Rockets had played 10 games on the road against Golden State in the playoffs. They had won one of them. And now, after this, they are 1-10 in 11 road playoff games in the Bay Area with James Harden against the various Golden State Warrior players. That's an 0-91 winning percentage on the road. They're going to have to win a game, assuming you are an optimistic and a Pollyanna and you think the Rockets are going to come back and win the next two games at home. They still have to find a way to win a game in Oakland. And the offense has usually gone away. Listen, you can go on and on about all this, and we can microanalyze, have paralysis of analysis and all that stuff. But it's Vince Lombardi, the great Vince Lombardi. The famous quote, which he claims he never actually said when he was alive, that winning isn't everything, it's the only thing, right? That famous Lombardi. We used to have a boss here that had that quote in the studio and hung in the studio years ago at Fox Sports Radio. None of us ever paid attention to it, but we did have it up in the studio. All right, it's Ben Maller's show on Fox. Here's Mike D'Antoni, the very loquacious coach of the Houston Rockets. You'll hear the question and the answer. It's about James Harden.
Anytime a superstar goes out, it's obviously more difficult, but for the load that James carries for you guys, what's it like during those minutes when he's out and you're not sure if he's going to come back?
Well, it's tough sledding, a lot of what we do, but at the same time, I thought we did a good job of kind of righting the ship and give us a chance toward the end. That just means, you know, Chris and Eric and those guys got to play a lot more minutes, but I thought we overcame that pretty well, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Oh, tough sledding. I didn't realize they were outside and the weather was terrible. Was there a snowstorm that hit Northern California? Here's James Harden. Bloody eye Harden. James Harden here, yapping away here. You'll hear the back and forth. Let's see what Harden has to say about all this. He's about his eye and his vision, I guess. Here we go.
The lights are bothering your eyes. Did you have trouble with your vision on the court?
Can't see nothing.
Oh. Whooped out.
Barely can see.
I'm sorry, what?
I barely can see.
Got you good.
Barely can see.
Oh, barely can see.
Yeah.
Were you able to get any relief from drops or anything else that they might?
Yeah, they put a couple drops,
Man, he whooped out over here. He looked like Thriller.
A couple drops to help it, you know, numb it a little bit. But, I mean, just all the lights was blurry.
And they can't put more drops in because it might damage the tissue. Is that right?
Correct. Dang. You're a doctor, too.
You know everything. Yeah.
I've had it happen.
Oh, yeah.
Not playing basketball.
We find out you was hooping, Shelly.
No.
All right.
And sleeping is really tough, by the way.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
All right. Uh-huh. Chuckle. Here's a memo to James Harden. The I couldn't see line only works if you win the game. They're not going to be writing a book and making a documentary of the day that you couldn't see and your team lost. So it doesn't work. Yeah, the flu game, the famous flu game, wouldn't have worked if the team that had the guy with the flu had lost the game. All right, comprende? And here's the other takeaway from what James Harden just said. Let me tell you something, all right? Very clear here. Before every Rockets game, they should slap Harden in the eye. He shot better, claiming he couldn't see. Maybe the problem with Harden is his vision. He needs to have impaired vision to shoot efficiently from the floor. How about that? All right, so the Ben Maller Show on Fox. We say hello to Edmund Dallas, Steamboat Willie, Judas, Solid Gold Garcia. The food just keeps coming in here, Eddie. We were greeted by a massive dish of wonderful food here.
We have?
It's right up there. I don't know if you can see it, but it should be up there. I think it's up
there. Who do we have to thank for this?
I don't know if we're allowed to say or not. I mean, Coop, what is it?
Rachel.
Rachel. Our friend Rachel in Montebello.
Oh.
These cupcakes, Coop, I have not examined.
Yes.
Coop has examined cupcakes. Him, I'm sure.
Yeah. There's still a bunch of candy in the back from yesterday that the hoodlums did not eat.
Yeah.
The candy there. Me and the vegan, we're looking at the ingredients there.
Dilly dilly.
And there's a lot. You got to get a pharmacist to see what's on the candy there, what's in the candy.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of that kind of candy.
No?
Those like,
you're more of a chocolate guy?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's those like not gummy things, but like sweet and sour taffy or
sour belts.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that stuff.
What about the rock candy? It's not a lollipop. It's a rock candy stick. How about that?
No.
Yeah,
no.
I don't like those, but I have been eating these jelly beans.
Jelly beans are pretty good.
Yeah.
I've not had any because...
Which I wish I hadn't because I didn't know that we had a cupcake delivery and then...
Oh, some jelly beans aren't going to affect your cupcakes.
And then Roberto also brought something.
Yeah, I saw that.
What did Roberto bring?
He doesn't know.
He's not sure what it is. But
I like cupcakes.
It's good.
I don't know what flavor they are, but they're really good.
Huh.
Yeah. So take a shot at it.
All right.
Yeah,
I'll take a peek. We'll see.
You going to have a little bit?
Maybe.
A little taste? Yeah.
Oh, I'll eat it.
Well, we know that, Coop. I mean, that goes without question.
Yeah.
So I feel like this Rockets thing was a big waste of our time.
You say that about most things we talk about, Eddie.
No, but
a
I mean,
waste of our time.
I thought that there would be just an overreaction to every call in this game. That it would continue the complaining would just carry over to game two. It was like it was like that stuff never happened to me when I watched the game.
You
it was
actually
like,
watched the game?
I did.
Sweet baby Jesus!
I watched
an NBA playoff game, Eddie.
Well, I mean, I thought there was going to be some interesting things to see.
You got suckered in.
It wasn't that interesting.
You got suckered in by the hype.
I'm like, where is all the overreaction to every call and extra scrutiny and analyzation of each call? It was like, nothing really happened.
Yeah. Well, that's true. It's just, and again, it was like I said, it was like a cat and mouse game. Like the Rockets were in position, but I never got the feeling they were actually going to be able to do it, and they didn't. So I was not surprised by the outcome, but I saw a stat going around that the Warriors have won at least one road playoff game in 20 consecutive playoff series. That's a record. So
it's not bad.
The chances are they're going to win one of the games in Houston.
Yeah.
And then that means Houston's going to have to win twice, if my Mallor math is correct, back in Oakland. Good luck.
Seems unlikely.
Yes. Seems unlikely. And it's I got to tell you, I should not have the level of schadenfreude I have watching the gimpy Chris Paul on the court, but he is Dunsky's. What a horrible trade by Daryl Morey, the Rockets GM. Chris Paul, a broken down point guard, garbage. And you would have been better off. I tweeted this out. You would have been better off if you're the Rockets with Patrick Beverley and Montrezl Harrell. Montrezl Harrell destroyed Draymond Green in that series. Say what you want about Montrezl Harrell. He's not that. He destroyed Draymond Green in that previous series, and Patrick Beverley had his moments too. I'd rather have those guys and Lou Williams than Chris Paul. I'll tell you that right now.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I realize much of the focus on the Warriors and the Nuggets and the Warriors and Nuggets, the Warriors and the Rockets, the Warriors winning that game, the late game, but there was another game on Tuesday. I don't know if you saw the early game I was watching, the Celtics and the Bucks, which was not much of a game. If you didn't see it, you did not miss that much. This was a snooze cruise is what it was in terms of competition. Now, Giannis Antetokounmpo, otherwise known as the Greek Freak, he led the way to a 21-point win over Boston in the game on Tuesday. 29 points, so the series is tied up at 1-1 going back to Boston. They'll continue the series, I think, sometime in June. But Antetokounmpo, he had said no adjustments. Now, we mocked him for that. No adjustments is the statement that he made. And it turned out, however, that Giannis, he did promise to play with more energy and more aggression, and that is exactly what he did. He was 7 of 16 from the floor overall, 13 of 18 from the line. He got 18 foul shots in this game. That's a James Harden-like trip to the foul line, and he also had 10 rebounds, a bunch of stats. He filled up the stat sheet, so we can go give you all the numbers here. He also made the three-point shot. And I think I read somewhere this is just the second time in his career that he's had multiple triples in three consecutive games, and he's now done it the last three games for Milwaukee. So and the Bucks kept knocking down 3-point shots. I think they finished with 20 made 3-point shots in the game. So it was a cakewalk situation. Let's discuss now. The better story is in the losing locker room. We know the better story is in the losing locker room. That would be the Boston locker room. So the question is, how should the Celtics be feeling right about now after a blowout win in game one and a blowout loss in game two. So my perspective here, you've got shoddy, avalanche, and walking. You've got those three things, and we will link all this together like those wonderful sausages in Wisconsin. Those just marvelous. All right, now, A, what the hell went wrong with the Celtics? Well, the answer is everything. Not to be overly dramatic, everything went wrong for the Celtics. Like, this was a 180 change, a 180-degree change from game one. A curb-stomping situation by the Bucks. Now, you didn't have to watch the game to know that, but it was really the game within the game. Because everything went sour and disgusting and started rotting at the end of the first quarter. There was a 24-minute stretch, and it was actually a little less than that, but we'll just round it up for the purposes of the monologue. There's a 24-minute stretch, the bridge from the start of the second quarter to the end of the third quarter. And in that two periods of basketball, Boston went from a 7-point lead to trailing by 25 points. The Celtics were outscored combined in the second and third quarter by 30 points. In 24 minutes, they got outscored by 30 points. It was a conga line of fall guys. Now, Kyrie Irving is public enemy number one. He deserves the brunt of the criticism, but it wasn't just Kyrie Irving. In that stretch, it was Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier, Gordon Hayward. Those guys combined, the five of them, for 21 points in that stretch, and they needed 32 shots. They shot less than 30% from the floor, those five players collectively. They got outworked in every phase of the game. I don't think I'm exaggerating that. There was very little hustle and not a lot of muscle, which is generally not a great combination. And it was just shoddy. I mean, the Celtics have had these situations in the regular season. That's why people aren't taking them seriously, that they did this a lot in the regular season where they just have an inferior, shoddy performance. No rebounding, passing was bad, clumsy basketball, all those things. Other than that, pretty good. Right. Other than giving up 73 points in a 24-minute stretch of basketball, other than that, not bad. Right. Now, Kyrie Irving, who is public enemy number one, the grump, Kyrie completely imploded. Right. Completely imploded. He was 4 of 18 from the floor. He took 18 shots. He missed 14 of the 18 shots he took. And they weren't all fall away, off balance jump shots. They weren't. He only took 5 three-point shots. He made one of those. And here's the biggest indictment you can give to Kyrie Irving, who one of his strengths is to blow past defensive players and get to the basket, right? One of the things Kyrie does very well. He did not attempt a single foul shot for the Celtics in this game. And while he was on the court, the Celtics were outscored by 19 points in the game. He should have stayed at the hotel. He should have just stayed at the hotel and had room service or have some Chinese food delivered to his room and just watch the game on TV. For Kyrie Irving, this is the second worst playoff game he's had. He's had 58 playoff games in his career, but as far as offense is concerned, the second worst of his career. And let's put an asterisk next to that because really the worst playoff game of Kyrie Irving's career, because the lowest point total before the game two in Milwaukee was back in 2015 with the Cavaliers. He had 6 points in a game. But it is interesting to note that in that game, Kyrie only played 12 minutes. I believe he was hurt in that game. So this game, he wasn't hurt. His ego might have been hurt, but he wasn't hurt. The third worst shooting game of his career, but the second worst and really the worst offensive game all the way around. Now, the second part of this, part B, the Greek Freak said, as we talked about, said Milwaukee did not need to make any adjustments. No adjustments. Now, I was skeptical. And for the first 12 minutes of this particular game, the Celtics were feeling pretty good. And then the script flipped, and really the Bucks didn't have to make any adjustments. If Kyrie Irving's going to miss 14 of 18 shots, it doesn't matter. But the Bucks did, to be fair, they unleashed an avalanche of offense, and the Celtics clearly satisfied that they had gotten a win in game one. I mean, the way they played, they just kind of going through the motions there. They were suffocated by the Bucks offense. I mean, it just kept coming at you. And that was, for the Greek Freak, just what the doctor ordered there. Fear the deer! Back on. See, it's back to being fear the deer now. And the Bucks all the things they screwed up in game one, where they were apprehensive and fidgety and all that stuff, there was none of that. It was precision, attention to detail, that was all there. And it's usually at home you're going to win games when you play like that. And, of course, it all depends on which side of the aisle you're on. Much like politics, right? It depends on which side of the aisle you're on. For the Bucks, man, you're feeling pretty good, right? It's a weaponized situation there. That's about as well as the Milwaukee Bucks can play. And for the Celtics, you got steamrolled, right? Over the meat and potatoes of that game, Milwaukee, as I said, they outscored Boston by 30 points, 73-43 in the second and third quarters combined. And it wasn't just Giannis Antetokounmpo. It was Chris Middleton, Eric Bledsoe, who took turns. It was like, pass the baton. All right, you get a shot, knock it down. You over there, take a money ball, you can knock it down. You the other guy, yeah, take another shot. They scored 57 points between them, those guys, Antetokounmpo, Middleton, and Bledsoe, and they shot 60%. That was a backbreaking stretch of basketball, overpowering. Like, listen, if the Bucks are going to play like that, then they're going to win the series. Now, I still think the Celtics should come back. They're going to take care of business at home, and this is going to go very long. It'll come down to a Game 7, which we want, and then we will see who chokes in Game 7. Right, will it be the Celtics? Will it be Giannis Antetokounmpo? Now, the parting shot on this. So the Bucks-Celtics series, two blowouts. Friday, they're back in action. Game 3 Friday back at the TD Garden in Boston. Now, I'm expecting a much better performance by the Celtics. And the reason is the time-tested zig-zag theory of gambling. Right? In a seven-game playoff series in the traditional stick-and-ball sports or whatever, you got hockey, basketball, baseball, seven-game series. Team that plays well in game one, the other team comes back in game two, and then whoever plays well in game two, you take the other team. This is the yin and the yang of a playoff series. So I am optimistic the Celtics will rebound. I don't know what kind of mushrooms Kyrie Irving was hanging out with or whatever in the hotel. I don't know what happened there, but you know, snap out of it. That was out of character. He was a hot mess. And he was even like, I saw some of the post-game interviews. He was like hallucinating about seeing triple coverage. I don't remember the Milwaukee Bucks putting triple coverage on Kyrie. Maybe my television was broken or I was falling asleep because the game was so boring. But he was walking as in sleepwalking Kyrie. And there were several other Celtics. It wasn't just him, as I said. There were other guys. But Kyrie's the star there. And he looked like he had that kind of glazed over look. You know what I'm talking about? Like he had one too many cupcakes and all that. All right, well, here's Kyrie trying to be the guy that owns it. You got to own it, right? Everyone says in Central Casting, if you're the superstar, you got to own it. You got to say the right thing. You got to do the right thing. Even if you don't believe it, you've got to say it because dumb people, if you say it, dumb people will believe you no matter what. Here is Kyrie pointing out that he is not running away from the Komodo dragon in the room.
This is what I signed up for. This is what Boston traded for me for. So being able to go back, get back in the trenches, get ready for, you know, another battle on Friday. You know, this is what you live for. So, you know, basketball is fun when it comes like this, when you have to respond. And, you know, this is a type of basketball you want to be playing at this time of year.
Yeah. Of course, I could argue that if you had played better in this game, you wouldn't have to respond. I could argue that, you know, It's great to say that, and certain group of Celtic fans will get all tingly when they hear that. They'll get all excited about that. But listen, you've got to ultimately, you got to bring it. All right, anyway, here's Al Horford, playoff Al, average Al. Now, he wasn't dreadful in this game and go inside the numbers and all that. But anyway, here's Al Horford, who is looking at the bigger picture.
I think that they just took control of the game, really did a good job of getting out and getting some really good looks in transition. And, you know, we didn't do a good enough job there getting back and getting matched. And, you know, they just took over and imposed their will.
Thank you. Al Horford had a James Harden-like performance turning the ball over. He had five turnovers by himself Almost as many cupcakes as Rachel, our friend Rachel, hooked us up with, these delicious cupcakes, which are just... Now, is it the cake part or is it the frosting? I'm more of a frosting guy. Some people like the cake part, but I enjoy the frosting.
I like both.
You like both, Roberto?
No, I typically am more of a cake guy. I like a smaller layer of frosting, but the frosting on these particular cupcakes is delicious.
Yeah. Now, I like the ratio to be heavily weighed down by the frosting. I want frosting in the air everywhere is what I want. I would like to be in a bathtub with frosting. That's what I would like. Can we make that happen? No? We say hello to Edmund Dallas, Steamboat Willie, Judas, Solid Gold, Garcia. Right.
Well,
over there hanging out.
I had two cupcakes, and I believe Roberto called them a tea cake.
Yeah, those tea cakes. Yeah. That's what
they're called. Yeah, it's a nice tea cake.
Yeah. They're all delicious, and now I'm feeling a little sick.
Well, you want to throw up?
I might throw up. I probably won't. I can't remember the last time I threw up, actually. It's been probably over a decade. But it's one of those things where it was so good, you know, eating them. And then, you know, after they get kind of settled, you're like, oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's the eating part's the fun part. And then afterwards, it's like, there's a lot of things in life like that.
Yeah.
You look back, you're like, maybe I shouldn't have done that. That's probably, it was good at the time, but man, it was just, maybe I used my mind a little more there and thought that through. And
I enjoy equal frosting and cake. I think you're playing down the middle.
But they're a great combination together.
I don't want one of either.
Exactly.
I want them together.
You can't have one without the other.
I want them both.
I want as little cake and as much frosting as I can.
You're like
get.
My wife. That's all she wants is frosting.
I want, you know how you get some cupcakes and you can't see because I'm on radio, but this much frosting. I'm holding up my fingers to Roberto.
That would make me even sicker if it was that much frosting.
No, it's good.
No, I would.
My wife's the same way. My wife's like, she loves eating dessert, but then she'll complain it's too sugary. I'm like, what's the point? It's dessert. It's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed
too
to be
rich.
Too rich or whatever. I'm like, no, that's what it's supposed to be. That's why you're consuming the food. That's dessert. That's the selling point of dessert. Anyway, if you want to be part, the number 877-99 on Fox. Let's go to the phones. John in Indy is on Fox Sports Radio. Hello, John. See, I don't hear.
What is that? What is that sound? Is he driving? Yeah, sounds like he's driving.
Boy, I hope he didn't fall asleep.
No, that would be bad.
That would be terrible. It'd
be problematic there. All right, we'll let John. It is an overnight show.
I'm aware of that.
We don't want that to go bump in the night because that would be a bad thing. We're not encouraging that at all. So, anyway, all right, we are on Twitter at Ben Maller. Let's see what the Maller Militia P1s have to say on Twitter. Let's see. Easy Money says, Big Ben, who's more of a crybaby? Today's whiny NBA players are the old school guys where the beef lady looking for her beef. Where's the beef lady? Oh, yeah, from the Wendy's commercials from a million years ago. I'm going to go to today's players. Because she was just doing a commercial. She was an actress. Very nice woman. This old woman in the Where's the Beef commercials. Ernie the Great Opiner says, Ben, although both of your Maller monologues about the NBA Plus were stellar radio, but I assume with the last two monologues you'll be breaking down the Stanley Cup playoffs. Well, I'm actually saving that for hours 5 and 6, Ernie. So we're going to do 5 and 6. We'll do a complete breakdown, a deep dive. Supermarket Steve writes in, says, Ben, correct me if I'm wrong, Ben, but didn't Scary Terry dominate Eric Bledsoe every game last year to the point that he had everyone thinking his name was Drew Bledsoe? Rozier had played well. He played well in game one. He sucked in this game. He was terrible in this game. Bledsoe woke up, played very well. That was the Eric Bledsoe from back in his Clipper days, back when he was good.
Well, those two guys got into it, right, last year during the playoffs.
Yeah. What was, because Rozier called him called him Drew Bledsoe and all that. Anyway.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
All right, let's get to it. Here we go. Let's go.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Hoop da loop.
Ben, the Thunder GM indicated on Monday that Billy Donovan will be back next season as head coach.
Hallelujah.
Now, you've been very critical of Russell Westbrook.
I've been fair.
True.
Yeah.
But how do you think Donovan has done?
Well, first of all, Billy Donovan is a figurehead. So you can't really judge Billy Donovan because he didn't do anything. He's got no muscle in Oklahoma. He gets paid very well to do what? His job is to occasionally shield Russell Westbrook from criticism. And, you know, the Thunder inevitably will come up short. Westbrook on the court is uncoachable. So how are you supposed to coach Donovan? Now, secondly, or grade Donovan, I should say. Secondly, nothing is going to change in Oklahoma in the near future. They will continue to be a good regular season team and get away with it in the regular season. They'll have turbulence in the playoffs. And Russell Westbrook is the fox in the henhouse come postseason time. He's the bad apple at the end of games. And Donovan, he's not going to stop him from taking those shots and playing hero ball at the end of the game. Forget about it. He's making a lot of money. And he's got an easy gig. Next!
Ben, you've joked about it on the air, but we all know it's not humanly possible for Cody Bellinger to keep up this historic pace. Let's focus on his batting average, though.
What Roberto says.
Can he be the first 400 hitter since Ted Williams?
All right. Well, I'm going to surprise you, Coop. I'm going to tell you no. I don't believe Bellinger's going to do it. I remember the greatest hitter I've ever seen in my life was Tony Gwynn. The man was amazing. He never batted 400. Mr. Padre Tony Gwynn, he came close. He batted 394 one year. They had a strike year and all that stuff. He could get a base hit with his eyes closed. He was that good a hitter. He didn't bat 400. Listen, here's what I want from Bellinger. He's having a great start to the year. At some point, the glass slipper is going to crack and all that. He's going to have a slump. It happens to everybody. He's on pace to hit 73 home runs and driving over 200 runs for the Dodgers. There's going to be a regression to the mean. Here's what I want. Just don't suck in October, Bellinger. You batted 115 in the playoffs last year. Do better in the playoffs and the World Series where the Dodgers will be again. Next!
Now, Game of Thrones author George R.R. Martin took to social media earlier this week to bash the Giants for taking Daniel Jones. Got me wondering, Ben, who is the most unexpected person that you've received criticism from?
All right, so we've got a pretty eclectic group of listeners to this show. And we have a lot of college professors that have criticized my use of certain words. But the craziest I can recall off the top of my head, Coop, is the teenage daughter of an NBA head coach who was furious that I was taking some gratuitous cheap shots at her father, which is completely understandable. I mean, if I was a teenage girl, I would feel the same way if some idiot on the radio was ripping my dad. But that was probably the most outrageous. I also had a guy on a tugboat on the Ohio River who would send me these long emails criticizing the show, which was very odd. How do we do, Koopalope?
You pass.
That's a winner!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Attention, everyone.
And the password is...
Password. You idiot.
Password, the word game of the stars.
Here's Ben Maller.
And it is password time. We love words. All we have on radio is words, and we'll play password right now. This game brought to you by Discover Card. We treat you like you treat you. Let's welcome in our contestants for this edition of Password. We say hello to our friend Wendell. Hello, Wendell.
Hey, greetings, everyone.
Wendell, the bus driver who wants the press room in L.A. named after Jim Hill, a sportscaster in L.A.
Correct. And I also have one other request. Oklahoma City Thunder, please make Schrader your point guard. Take the ball out of Russell Westbrook's hand. Please.
Okay, you've demanded Russell Westbrook gets traded. Anything else you would like?
No. Not traded. Just make it. Don't let him bring the ball up the court. Give it to Schrader.
Okay. I got you. That's not going to happen. Hold on, Wendell. And we have Cody in Iowa. Hello, Cody.
What's up, Ben?
What's going on, man? What are you doing in Iowa, Cody?
Just driving home now from work.
Yeah?
Been listening to you guys all night.
Thank you. You work at a warehouse? What kind of work do you do?
Welding.
Oh, welding. Oh, wow. Cool.
Yep.
You don't want to mess up when you're welding. You'll burn part of your body off or something. All right, hold on a sec, Cody. Hold on a sec, man. And Wendell, who do you want to partner up with, Wendell? You can play with me, Ben. You can play with Eddie, Cuba Loop, or Roberto.
Give me my main man, Coop. We got to defend our crown.
That's right. The most dominant duo in the history of Password.
I don't know about that. Cody, who do you want to partner up with, Cody?
He took Kumbuko, so I'll go with you, Big Ben.
All right. Thank you very much. You'll be happy with that choice. Let's play the game. Here we go. We list of words, 1 to 10. And we'll have each of you pick a number. Wendell, pick a number between 1 and 10.
8.
Number 8. All right. Number 8. And we start out with 10 points. We go down to 9, 8, 7. The way the game's supposed to work, you're supposed to play along as you listen to the show, see how you do, if you're better than these guys. All right, Coop, you're up with Wendell.
All right, Wendell, the clue I'm going to give you, let's go with slogan.
Slogan. Motto.
No, good guess, good guess.
All right. He said the slogan, I'm going to go with mantra. Cody, mantra.
Mantra.
Need an answer, Cody. Need an answer.
Let's go with...
Or get off the pot. I didn't have an answer. All right. I don't know if you can say that. All right. Go ahead there. Yes. Koopaloop.
All right, Wendell. Let's go with saying.
Saying. Okay. Try to watch the under the breath cursing if we can. Yes, go ahead, Wendell. We need an answer.
God.
That sounds like you're taking a bowel movement. Just give an answer. Oh, my goodness. It's not. All right, let's throw the word out. This is ridiculous.
We were looking for catchphrase.
A mantra, slogan is a. Yeah, all right. We're up, Cody. We're up. Pick a number, anything but 8, anything 1 to 10, but not 8.
Three.
Word number 3. All right. Well, this is another one that will be. <It's> just... All right. What the hell? Let's go with glimmer.
Sparkle.
No. All right. Koopa Loop. Go ahead, Koop. Word number 3.
This is a tough one. Wendell, I'm going to say glint.
What?
Glint.
All right.
Shine.
Oh, no, but that's such a good guess.
No, not right. Let's go with glisten.
Shiny?
No!
Shiny. All right, Wendell. Shiny. All right, Wendell, we got this.
You heard
all of the clues so far. Let's tie them all together, and the hint I'm going to give you now is flame.
Say again?
Flame.
Oh.
Come on, Wendell. We got to pick up the
You
pace.
Got this.
No, you don't. You don't have it. You don't know. You have doubt. You have doubt in your mind. You have doubt, Wendell. You have doubt. You have doubt.
Right.
No,
you. I knew you had doubt. Let's go with, I don't know, sparkle. I guess I don't know.
Spark.
No. Spark. Oh my God.
Sparkle. Spark. Yeah.
No.
All right. Throw the word out.
All right. We were trying to find
the word was flicker.
Flicker.
A terrible word.
Oh,
we gotta dump down the words, Coop. Yeah, we gotta flicker. Dump these words down, okay?
Yeah, but there's only so many words in the English language.
There's a lot of words, Coop. Come on.
Let's just do the same words every week. All right, go ahead.
Okay.
Yes.
Like cat.
All right, pick a number, Wendell.
four.
Word number
What's
four.
What's the score, by the way?
0-0.
It's a defensive struggle, Eddie.
I didn't think it was that bad.
It's a defensive struggle, Eddie.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
All right, Wendell, let's go with...
Oh, you both suck.
Not me. Yeah, you suck. Speak for yourself. You weren't even picked.
This is a tough one, too. Let's go with...
Thank God.
Let's go with... Crave. Crave.
Crave.
Clave?
No, Crave.
Oh, slave.
No, 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 no. Crave. C-R-A-V-E. Crave.
Slave. Oh, Crave. Crave. I'm sorry. I'm
That's
sorry.
Right.
Oh, Crave would be too...
Come on, Wendell. Five.
For the win.
Four,
come on.
Three, two, one.
Oh.
I don't have any. All right. Let's go with.
Last shot.
This is something we all have. Lust. Lust. Lust.
Oh, that's
L-U-S-T. Lust.
Got a murder. Got a
guy. Oh, God. 0-0.
Desire. Ah.
Wow.